On his computer at home, Wolfram Schluter watched the action at the airport with keen-eyed interest. The 32-inch plasma HD screen rotated through 8 different cameras worn by the men Piccoli had contracted to do the job. None of those men knew about Schluter. Piccoli was the only name they knew. Schluter sat on the edge of the ergonomic chair, his elbows braced on his knees, his forefingers under his chin. His grandmother was still entertaining Garin Braden in the study, staying up far past her normal bedtime.
Are you watching?
Yes.
I don't know what the big deal about this woman is. I don't know why you insisted on all the extra manpower.
If you don't need it and you feel you've been overpaid, you can always return part of the fee.
I never turn down easy money.
Just remember, you get a bonus if you take her alive. And if she escapes, you don't get the other half.
That's not going to be a problem.
I hope not.
The woman had disappeared for many hours. For all of that time, Schluter had waited anxiously for her to reappear. He'd fretted constantly. His grandmother had pressured him to get back to Riga and look for the treasure that was supposed to be hidden there. He'd finally forced her to acknowledge that having Anya Creed, with whatever knowledge Mario Fellini had passed on to her, was important enough. Through all of that discussion, Garin Braden had never said a word. He'd sat back and taken it all in. Schluter had the feeling that the big man had only been amused by everything they were doing. Schluter had practically expected Garin to volunteer to go get the woman himself.
Okay, it's on now. Enjoy the show.
Garin Braden sat in the comfortable wood-paneled lounge area with Kika while she warmed herself by the fire. In the shadows of the darkened room, he could almost detect the radiance of his companion in days long gone. Throughout dinner and their discussion afterwards, though, she had appeared sheepish and withdrawn. He poured her a glass of wine, handing it over to her.
I have a favor to ask, Garin.
Anything.
I really shouldn't.
You only live once, I say.
You're right.
What did you want to ask?
When you and Wolfram go to Riga, I want to go with you.
Do you really think that's wise?
No, but this could be my last chance at adventure. I never saw myself ending my days wasting away inside these vaults.
Arrangements can be made. Please, Kika, excuse me for just a moment.
The woman has landed. Schluter's people are all around her. We've hacked into his system. You should be able to view the video feed he's using.
All right.
Garin knew that Gunther was holding back from reminding him they could have had a team in place there, as well as the other airports that serviced Venice. But there had been no reason to think that Anya was flying there. Her name had never appeared on any passenger manifests at the airports. He'd had those monitored by Gunther's people, so there would be no surprises. Garin hated surprises.
I can hack into his system and stand down the team he has there, or send for the police.
No.
Garin didn't want to do that because it would make Schluter even harder to deal with. He still wasn't certain he knew as much as Schluter did, and he didn't want to risk the working relationship he had in place. It wasn't the potential profit so much as it was the promise he'd made to the old woman all those years ago. One way or another, he was not one to discount the chance for more wealth. He'd never allowed himself to get comfortable like Rue.
Do nothing. Let me have the feed. I'll call you if I need you. Kika, if you'll excuse me for a moment.
Of course, Garin. Take your time.
Gunther had arranged to set up the video stream in his room so it would piggyback off Schluter's signal. Garin left the study to head upstairs to the second floor. The man closest to Anya and Stanley raised his long arm, pointed a sound-suppressed 9mm pistol directly at her. Beside her, Stanley was tense and hesitant as he stared at the pistol in the man's hand.
Not a fan.
Definitely not a fan.
Down at the curve, leading into the canopied area, a scarlet Alfa Romeo pulled out of the parking space, cutting off a hotel shuttle bus gathering late-night arrivals. The reverse lights flared to life and the car roared backward toward the curb.
Hang on, Stanley.
The driver's side window was down, allowing Anya to clearly see Rue seated behind the wheel. The man in front of her turned to point his weapon at the car's driver. Anya pulled the sword into motion. Wrapping both hands around the hilt, knowing the man would kill Rue without a second thought, she brought the sword down in an arc that caught the man at the shoulder and sliced all the way through to his heart. As quickly as she could, she twisted the blade and yanked it free of the dying man.
Here, Anya!
Rue shoved a mini machine pistol through the window, sweeping short bursts at the gunman running toward them. Stanley Younts hit the pavement, wrapping his hands over his head. Anya ran toward him, caught his arm, and yanked him to his feet just as a hail of bullets hit the pavement where he'd been. She kept him moving in front of her, a hand in the small of his back. They left their luggage behind them. Luckily, Anya could see that the skycaps had escaped without getting hurt, but her new suitcase was getting riddled with bullets.
The other side of the car!
Anya pulled Stanley sideways. Until that moment, she hadn't thought that trying to get in behind Rue would have left them open to hostile gunfire that raked the side of the car. On the other side, she opened the door from a crouch, barely missing a blast above her head. Stanley started inside, staying low. Anya put her shoulder into his back and shoved. She let the sword fade away.
Go!
Rue tossed the mini machine pistol into the passenger seat.
Reload!
Shrugging out of her backpack and shoving it onto the floorboard behind Rue's seat, Anya sat up and reached over the seat for the machine pistol. Extra magazines for the weapon lay on the seat.
You're going the wrong way!
I can see that, Anya.
Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. We'll talk later. Right now, it appears that those people back there didn't just have men on foot. They had cars standing by as well.
Looking back, Anya saw two sports coupes racing to close the distance between them.
What the hell just happened, Bicali?
You didn't tell me there would be an outside party waiting to pick them up!
That's because I didn't know!
Schluter stood and leaned over the desk, trying to focus on the camera shifts as Piccoli's men moved around. It didn't help. No one had a camera on the escaping car.
Get some, Piccoli! Get some now!
It's all right, Herr Braden. The woman appears to have gotten away.
Garin smiled. Anya had always been surprisingly resourceful. However, in the same moment that he silently congratulated her for her success, he realized that she was going to be stepping into his sights if she pursued the prize in Latvia.
Who was in the car?
I don't know. He appeared to be an elderly man. A surprisingly quick elderly man.
All right. Stay with them as long as you can.
I don't think they're going to get far. Schluter's men are on their heels.